Genesis chapter 32, beginning with verse 24. Genesis 32, 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, Jacob, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel. The sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the sinew that shrank. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today, Almighty God. And Lord God, we need your divine help. Father, thou hast laid this burden upon our heart. We pray, God, that the enemy cannot snuff it out, Lord God, but that, Father, you will come forth and you will water this message, Lord, with your blessed heavenly presence, Almighty God. We pray, dear Lord, that you would just come and you would speak to our hearts, God. We give you this vessel tonight to use for thy glory and for thy honor, God, that you would be exalted and you would be lifted up, Lord. Let not man say what Brother Keister has done, but Lord God, what you have done this evening, Lord, we come to thee for thy presence and for your divine help and unction and anointing tonight, O God. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious and wonderful and holy name. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when I think about it, and I can look at my own life, and I know that others can relate to this, but you can remember times in your life, maybe you're facing some of this today, where you have these great regrets and you have these great struggles, and you're wrestling with things, and you're trying to break free, and you got this bondage in your life, and you desire that things would be different, and you try to do better, you try to do what's right, and yet you fail God, and you fall on your face, and you weep before Him and cry out, and then you try again, and things go along for a little while, but it comes back to the same thing. You keep on facing some of the same struggle over and over and over again. You know, the fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ is able to take the struggle out. Amen. If I make reference to Romans chapter 7, you know, some would believe that that's the Christian life. My friends, that is not the Christian life. That you can't control and that you're doing what you don't want to do, and what you want to do you're not able to do. That's not the Christian life. The Apostle Paul was not painting a picture of what it's like to be a Christian. He was painting a picture of what you can be delivered from and about that struggle. And friends, I want to let you know that Jesus Christ is able to deliver you from that struggle. But you know what? I think you're going to have to go through some experiences just like Jacob did. Now I'd like to look at some of these scriptures tonight. You see, Jacob, if you read the verses before verse 24, you'll find that he even put everything away from him. He was alone. The scripture that we started out reading tonight, it began, it says, Jacob was left alone. See, he put everything away from him. And friends, if we're going to really get through with God, we're going to have to settle that I'm going to put everything on hold. I'm going to put everything off to the side until I get this matter settled with God. Whatever your struggle might be, friends, it's time to just put the brakes on in life. It's time to just put everything on hold and be willing to seek God until He comes and rains down righteousness upon your heart. And there was Jacob. Jacob's facing a big trial, a big struggle, something he's not sure what's going to happen. Remember what he did to Esau? Stealing his birthright, and he ran into hiding. And now we have the situation where Jacob is coming back, and he's going to have to face that brother that probably in his mind, and probably in Esau's mind, at least at one time, Esau's desire was that he would just annihilate Jacob before what he had done. And Jacob was about ready to face Esau, and fearful he was. He came to the place where he had nothing to turn to but God. And he began to seek God that day. But Jacob started out by number one, he got alone. He got alone. He was left alone. He put his wife, his children, he put all of his manservants, everything away from him, and Jacob was left alone. It says, it goes on to read there, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Jacob wrestled with God. This was the angel of the Lord, and he came, and Jacob was wrestling with him. You see, Jacob wanted to get real with God. Jacob wanted to deal with this situation. You know, sometimes God's got to allow you to get in one of the worst situations that you can possibly be. And that's exactly where Jacob was. Do you think Jacob wanted to be where he was at? Do you think Jacob really, that's where he wanted to be, in a position where he's going to, not sure if his life is going to be destroyed, whether everything that he has will be destroyed? Jacob didn't know what was going to happen. And you know, sometimes because of our stubbornness and our struggle that we're not willing to turn to God early on, we get ourselves in some real major jams. We get down to a place where we don't know what we're going to do. And I can remember when I was going through some battles, I can remember situations where you see, when I made that choice to seek after riches I told you about before I began singing that song, you know, there came a time and a place, and God tried to warn me. God tried to give me a warning as a sinner that that was not the way to go. What I needed to do was I needed to turn to God, but instead I tried to chase after riches, and I got myself in a terrible jam. You see, I had an opportunity at the place where I worked, and I shared this in my testimony. I believe I may have shared it here. If not, you're going to hear it for the first time tonight. But I was in a situation. I mean, I was in a jam, and the jam was coming about because of the finances, and because I sought after the riches, I hungered for more money. And you see, there was a competitor at the hospital where I worked, and at this hospital, I was hired, I was contracted there, so I was really an employee of another company contracted to the hospital. But you know, they had a competitor that also had computer technicians that were contracted there at that hospital. And that competitor came to me, and they were willing to hire me out underneath their opponent. And they were willing to give me more money. And they offered me so much more money. I don't know if it was 50 cents or now a dollar more an hour. Yeah, that's quite a raise, isn't it? And so I accepted the thing. And I went back and told my employer I was working for. Now, meanwhile, you know, I'm the main person serving the contract for this other company. So if I leave and jump ships to the competitor, that company's going to lose their contract. They're going to be unable to fulfill that contract. And so the fact of the matter was, I told them I'd go to work for the new company, gave my old employer a 2-week notice, and you know what? They made a counteroffer. And we went back and forth, back and forth. Do you know that I jumped $10,000 in a matter of just a couple of days per year in salary? Now that's quite a raise, isn't it? And what was I hungry for? I was hungry for money. And so finally, the company I was working for, they said, look, we're not going to play this game any longer. If that's where you want to go to work, you just go ahead and work. And I jumped over there for about an increase of right around $10,000 a year. Well, it wasn't too long. You see, when I went to work for the new company, they contracted me right back to where I was working before at the hospital. And I didn't really realize it. In some way, I was naive. But now, friends, I was not a Christian. I want you to clearly understand that. So I went ahead with this, and I went back to work at that hospital. And actually, I never stopped fulfilling the work that I was doing before. But now I'm drawing my paycheck from somebody else, and now a new company is billing for my time at this hospital. Well, that other company decided they were going to sue. They were going to sue me for a large sum of money. They were going to sue the company that hired me for a large sum of money. They were going to sue the hospital for a large sum of money. And all of a sudden, I got myself in a terrible jam. But it was a whole lot worse than that, because when the lawsuit papers came, the company I'm now working for, they called me down to the office, and they had me sit down at the end of their conference table, and the owner and his right-hand man were there, and they slid the paperwork across the table for the lawsuit, slamming their fist down on the table and said, today's mafia did not get to where it's at by not sticking together. And they told me what I could say and what I couldn't say. They provided me with an attorney that was provided for me by the mafia, and all of a sudden, I was in a terrible jam. My life was now threatened. I had a baby girl. I had a wife to take care of. And now I've got the mafia who's got a number on my head if I'm willing to speak. That was a scary spot to be in. And I'll tell you what, things really got messed up. I was still using the drugs. I can remember going to a drug dealer's house. And I'll tell you, when you're going to make a drug deal, and anybody here's got any experience in that, the first thing you do is make sure all the blinds are pulled and the doors are closed. And you don't want anybody to see what's going on. And you don't want the police and the authorities. Well, this guy, I bought drugs from him all the time. I knew that he had a connection to the mafia, and you know what happened? Now, I understand, I wasn't like out there doing illegal things for this mafia company. All I did was legitimate computer work, but they owned the company. Well, you know what? This drug dealer that I went to get some drugs from, he's got the door standing wide open. He's got the blinds completely open, And he sends the whole large quantity of this bale of marijuana across the table and says, here, just weigh out what you want. Well, you don't let your customer decide that they're going to weigh out what they want. They'll always teach you. They'll put more in there than what they want. Why? Because that's what you do. You're dishonest, you know. You're going to get as much as you can if they're going to let you weigh out. They don't, that's just not something that they do. And I realize there's something going on here. I'm being set up. I'm being set up by this deer. And I'm telling you all this, but see, it all goes back to when God had dealt with my heart and I resisted God. And now all of a sudden, I am in a big jam. Jacob was in a large jam. Jacob was in a position that his life could have been lost. And you know, I am still convinced to this day that when we turn our back on God, God lets us go to the bottom. God lets us get to a really rotten place where sometimes the only thing we can do is stick our head up out of the hole in the pit that we live in and begin to cry out to God because we've got nothing else that we can do. And that's exactly what happened in my own life. Now, because of that situation, boy, I wanted to find a new job in a hurry, you can imagine. I mean, I did not want to work for these people. I wanted to get as far away from them as possible. And finally, I get hired actually at a small mom-pop computer shop out of the county, and they had me under this compete contract where I couldn't even work for a competitor within a 100-mile radius. They made me sign a contract with them. So now I'm breaking their contract just to find a job to make ends meet. Well, I worked there for a couple weeks and got hired at a university, got the good job, the one I was trying to get, but it took them longer to go through the hiring process, so I quickly went off to them. So now I'm not working for a competitor. It's actually a school. I'm kind of safe. I'm no longer breaking that contract. I tell you what, my life was a real mess. But you want to know the frying pan that I was in? Can you imagine my eyes when I watched that company's van pull up at that university to make a delivery for computer stuff? And I realize that the people that I'm dealing with and the people in the same department where I worked are in cahoots with them. And all of a sudden there was equipment being stolen from the university, and guess who they were pointing the finger at? You see, I was becoming the fall guy. And that's a terrible place. And I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm the new guy on the block and they're pointing all the finger at me. It was because I denied God. It's because I didn't seek God when I had opportunity. It's because I never got my life straightened out with God. Now I'm getting into a deeper mess. Then I come to find out that some of the people in the department that I work for, they're involved in witchcraft. You think, I mean, I'll tell you, the icing on the cake was really, really just packed full of mold, if you want to say it that way. And this was the most awful experience that I ever experienced in my life. And they're giving me problems because, you know, here I am, my life is messed up. I'll tell you, my life is messed up, and meanwhile, I'm still drinking daily, I'm still doing the drugs and the alcohol. My life was a wreck. I can remember going to a friend of mine that had dabbled in some witchcraft and different things, and he knew some stuff, and I told him what was going on. I said, you wouldn't believe what they're doing down here and what they're putting me through. I said, you have no idea what I'm going to do. He said, I can go down there. He said, I'll put on my garb, I'll go in there and scare him for me if you want. But see, I had been around him long enough. I had been around him long enough that he had heard us, we talk about the things of salvation sometimes. And all of a sudden, you know, God can use anybody to speak to you. And here's this man that's practiced various types of black magic and witchcraft. And I went to him kind of scared because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what in the world. I mean, it was just an awful experience to go through. I'll tell you what, talk about anxiety attacks, talk about panic attacks. I mean, my life was a wreck. But you know what he said to me? He said, you don't need my help. He said, why don't you just turn to the God of your grandparents? Because I had talked to him about the fact that I had grandparents that were real Christians. We had talked about the way of salvation. And it was amazing how, you know, some of the best conversations about God happen on a bar stool. You go into a bar, I'll tell you you get into some of the deepest conversations about God. Sometimes you're talking to backslidden preachers sitting on the bar stool beside you. And they know the way. I've heard testimonies of people that were drunk and somebody got under conviction. They actually led somebody to the Lord while they were drinking in this by a backslidden preacher. My life was a wreck. And I really didn't have much of a choice. No matter how I tried to solve the problems, it didn't work out. And Jacob, he's trying to solve the problems. He's trying. I mean, he's sending out gifts to Esau. He's doing all that he can in his human power. He's doing whatever he can to circumvent the problem. But he knows that in his heart, he's in big trouble. He knows that he's in a hot seat. He's in a place that there's not much he can do about it. But he began to wrestle with God. He began to call out with God. And friends, I tell you that sometime you're going to have to get to the place where it is time to wrestle with God, where it's time to seek God out and to get a hold of God and to wrestle with Him until He blesses you. And that's exactly what Jacob did. And friend, if you're going to get through with God, you're going to have to wrestle with Him. You're going to have to get a hold of God, and you're going to have to let Him know that this isn't what you want in life anymore. You're going to have to let Him know that I want to change. Oh God, I'm so tired of the old me. I'm so tired of the way that I used to be. And God, I need You to change me. I want You to come and I want You to bless me. I want You to change everything about me. And that's where Jacob was going. Jacob had to be in a pickle to get himself where he'd really get to the bottom. And friend, I just want to know something tonight. Are you in a pickle? Are you in a jam? Spiritually speaking, do you know that you're in a position where you need God to pour out? And I'm talking tonight to two classes of people. I'm talking to those that really are not saved, and you know you're not saved. You know that you got a profession of religion, but you know down on the inside there's something wrong. And I'm talking to those that you know that you're saved. You know God has forgiven you the past, but you know there's a deep down inner struggle that we call the old carnal nature. That old carnal nature, it likes to raise its head up. And whichever one you got the problem tonight, I want to let you know this message is for both of them tonight. Because you know what? The symptoms sometimes are very similar, but the solution is still the same. And that's turning to God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all your soul, friends. Whether you've got sins that are active right now in your life, I want to let you know that God is able to forgive you them. Or whether you got this old carnal nature on the inside that rises up and bites and takes you down from time to time, friends, God is able to cure you both. Hallelujah. He's able to do the work in your heart that you'll never be the same again. Praise the Lord. He's able to bring the change in such a way that you'll be rejoicing and knowing that the work is done. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I remember this one lady, we worked with her around the altar, and I'd worked with her for some time, visited her and called on her and tried to share the gospel message. I can remember her going to a youth rally. She was a mature woman, probably in about her 50s. And I remember her going to a youth rally and seeking God and praying, and she's up front and she's just waiting to get up and shout and run around the church. And I had one of the ladies get down beside her and talk with her. And she had the wisdom of the blessed Holy Spirit speaking through her. And she said to that woman, she said, look, you're not going to get blessed like that to get where you're going to get up and get changed until you get through with God. You're going to have to get through with God first. Some people are just looking for a blessing. Some people just want their big old problem cure. But you know what? You need more than the big old problem cure. You need all the sins put on the altar. You need to get all them cleared up with God. Not just the biggest one that's your biggest problem that seems to be weighing you down. And that's where a lot of people go wrong. Oh, they come to God with their big bad problem, the biggest one they got, and they just come and they want God to cure it, but the little sins in life they're not so worried about. Friends, until you get worried about every single one of them, friends, you're not going to get through with God. But you'll get serious with God and you'll begin to wrestle with God. Something's going to happen when you get serious with God. Jacob was determined. Jacob was not only wrestling with Him, but he was determined because he said, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. And friends, if we're going to get through with God, we're not only going to have to wrestle with Him, but we are going to have to be determined that I will not be denied. Just like that song, I will not be denied, but we will be determined. We will be determined to get through with God, that we're not going to let Him go until He blesses us. You know, Matthew chapter 11 verse 12 says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And the violent take it by force. Friends, in other words, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. It's people that are coming, and they're willing to come to God, and they're going to wrestle with God. They're not willing to take no for an answer. They're going to keep on pressing forward. They're going to keep on crying out to God until He comes and He does a work in their life. Jacob was a determined man to get through with God on this. He knew that he had really nowhere else to turn. He knew that all of his human efforts without God's help would be in vain. And friends, that's just the way I felt in the experience that I was going through. I knew that everything that I was doing was not going to work. I tried to reform myself. I tried to do better. But friends, it was when I began to wrestle with God and when it was determined that I want change more than anything else in the world. I don't care what I'm going to lose. I don't care what I'm going to have to give up. I don't really care. Yes, I cared about some things. I knew there was a loss of some things that would be very valuable to me, including sometimes family. But friends, you know, we're going to have to be willing to serve God even if it means losing family, friend. We're going to have to be willing to serve God that I want You, God, more than anything. I want You more than anyone in this world. I want You more than anything in this world. And that might hurt. That might be a struggle. In fact, that night that I was getting saved, I had to leave my wife on the altar with a threat and realization that she very well could leave me if I went this way of holiness. And as the fact of the matter goes on, she did in time. But you know what? I want to let you know that I wouldn't trade anything. I'm still determined today that I want God more than anything. And friend, not only are you going to have to get determined to get God through, but you're going to have to stay determined that you're going to serve God no matter what comes your way. But you know, something's going to happen. You're going to start wrestling with God. And you're going to get alone. And then you're going to start to wrestle with God. You're going to be determined. And then you know what? God's going to put his finger right down in the center of your heart. And he's going to show you what you really are. And that's exactly what he did when he said to Jacob, "What is thy name?" And all of a sudden, "What is thy name?" You know, Jacob knew what his name meant. And you know, if God were to speak to you today, it might not be the same way, but he might just say, "What about that?" And you fill in the blank right now with what's coming to your mind. I know God's faithful. He's bringing something to your mind right now. I believe God's faithful to bring something to your mind right now. What about this in your life? What is it? What is God showing you right now in the depths of your heart? If you get real with God and you're determined that you're going to go all the way through with God, God's going to start to really reveal what's down on the inside. And when he does, you're going to have to be willing to admit. And old Jacob, he confessed exactly what he was. "My name is Jacob. I am a deceiver," is what that means. "I am selfish. I am self-centered. I am a deceiver. I want what I want and I'll get it at any cost. And that's just what I am, God." And God knew exactly what he was before, but that man was going to have to get to the place where he'd cry out and let God know that he now knows exactly what he is. You see, you can't deceive God. You can't cover it up. You can't hide it. And friends, if you're going to get alone with God and you're going to wrestle with God and you're going to be determined that you want God to bless you and you want to get out of the jam that you're in and you want God to deliver, you're going to have to be so determined that you're willing to admit exactly what you are. And you know, there lies a big problem. Right there lies one of the biggest problems with people ever really getting through with God, because they got the old point the finger syndrome. "Well, so-and-so wouldn't have done that to me. I never would have did that. I never would have went that way. I remember my mom, my dear mom. Thank God I had a good mom. I had a mom that loved me. Maybe not serving the Lord all the ways that she needed to be, but she loved me and she took good care of us. But you know, she always pointed the finger at all my friends. Oh, if Rodney wouldn't hang out with those guys, he never would have done that kind of stuff. If Rodney would have been hanging out with that crowd, he never would have done that kind of stuff." And boy, I thought she could blame everybody else around. And what do you think? What do you think that you do? You know it. Everybody's a victim today. You just talk to them. Boy, I mean, they need everything under the sun. They've got to go to every kind of counselor under the sun. They've got to have every single thing because they're the victim. It's because what I went through, friends, I went through some things. When I was a boy, my dad slid me up the wall, and I don't even remember, knocked right out of my memory by my neck, hanging there along the wall. My daddy came to me in a drunken stupor one day, apologized to me for something that he'd done to me. I didn't remember because in shock it was stricken from my memory. I've been through some things. My brother used to tell me, "I won't even tell you the kinds of things that went on in this house." He was older than me. I was too young to remember. "I won't even tell you the kind of things that went on." You know, I went through a lot of trauma too. I went through a lot of crisis. I went through a lot of problems. But friends, all those problems in my past, all those childhood issues in my past, all those things, all those problems, friends, that is not God's fault. And you know what? The fact of the matter is the road that I went down, the bad road that I went down, the things that I got involved in, it's nobody's fault but my own. And you're never going to get through with God until you look right in the smack in the mirror and say, "I'm the reason why I'm in the position I'm in. It's my fault, oh God. It's because of me, oh God. And Lord God, I realize who I am. I realize what I've become. And it's all my fault, God. And God, I want you to come tonight. And I want you to change me." And I say hallelujah, because God's able to do it. When we get that real with God, then we'll have you, God. We'll have your way. And Lord God, we'll serve you with all of our days, all of our life, and everything that we are. I want to let you know God's going to come and do something. Hallelujah. God's going to work a miracle in your life. God's going to do some things in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to have to get so real with God and acknowledge when he says, "What is that in your heart?" And you can spit and sputter and say, "Well, Lord, that's not me. Oh, Lord, that wasn't me. That was my brother's fault. It's my brother's fault. He's the one that did that. He's the one that brought that home. That's the reason I got involved. Oh, God, would you forgive my brother?" Don't you dare cry out that it was your brother. Don't you dare cry out and say it was somebody else. Friends, it's time to get real. You know, a lot of problems in households, you know, we just want to blame the other spouse. Oh, it's her fault. Oh, it's his fault. But the fact of the matter is, maybe we just need to look square in the mirror and say, if I wouldn't have done the things, and if I wouldn't be the person that I am, I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in. We're going to have to get clear with God on everything. Now, I realize in a home where there's a division and somebody wants to serve God and somebody doesn't, there's all kinds of battles that come. It's hard to even clear out and know what in the world is what, because it becomes such a battleground between Satan and God, and you're just kind of stuck in the midst of this battlefield. But I want to let you know that if we just get real with God, You know, I don't know if you ever heard the story of the little boy. We got a little gospel track back there for children. It's got some of the pictures that you can look at it. You ever see the little gospel track about the boy? And his mommy says, "Billy, did you eat the chocolate cake?" "No, mommy, I didn't do it." He's got chocolate frosting on this cheek. He's got crumbs hanging over here out the corner of his mouth. "Really, Billy, you didn't eat the chocolate cake?" "No, mommy, no, I wouldn't do that, mommy. I didn't eat the chocolate cake." "Really? Well, why don't you just come on in here into the bathroom for just a minute?" And she puts him up and stands him on his little stool where he brushes his teeth, and he catches a glimpse of himself in the mirror. And all of a sudden, he sees the chocolate frosting. He sees just who he is. And you know, when God says, "What is that in your heart?" He's shining a mirror right at you.
Right.
He's going to show you just who you are.
Right.
And until you admit where you're at, until you admit what's down on the inside, whether it's a carnal heart, and that's one of the ugliest things. I tell you what, when you're really coming to the place where God's revealing carnality at you, boy, you think you've never even been saved. I'll tell you what, if you're really getting a good old-fashioned holiness conviction for a pure heart, you'll be so convicted, you'll wonder whether you even ever really got through back there one day, because you'll start to see just how ugly down on the inside you really are. God shines that old mirror, and He just holds it there. He says, "This is what you are." And you can try and deny it, but when you see your own reflection, and you see what's there, you can try and wipe it off. You can try and hide it. You can try to close your eyes. That's what the old ostrich does. "I'm going to hide." He sticks his head in the sand. Meanwhile, his whole bottom and everything's just sticking right out. You know, you can go ahead and stick your head in the sand. That's what the old carnal heart likes us to do. Boy, it just likes us to cover that up. It likes us just to hide underneath that. And I'll tell you what, I get this old saying called "Carnality does the dishes." I said, "Carnality does the dishes." "Oh, yeah, there was a time God was dealing with me." You know, God starts dealing with your carnal heart, you'll do things you don't even like to do. I was praying one day, and God started dealing with my carnal heart. Boy, I tell you what, one of the most dreaded things for me to do is, as far as housework goes, I just don't like to do the dishes. I admit it. I'd rather go out and split wood even with my bad back than do dishes, I think. I just don't like to do dishes. Ask my daughter. It's not my kind of housework. I just don't care for it. But that day, I'm praying for a clean heart. I'm on my knees. I'm seeking God. And boy, those dishes are looking real good. You know, I actually got up from prayer, and I was determined, I need to get these dishes done. I actually got up, and I went and did the dishes. You know, when the old mirror of showing you what you really are down on the inside comes, if the enemy can't get you away from admitting it, he's going to bring all kinds of little tasks by. "Well, you know, you got to get to the market. You got to get down here. You know, you got to get over here." The same thing happens when it's time to go to church sometimes. "Well, you know, if you go to church tonight, how in the world are you going to get that accomplished? You know you need to get that thing finished. And you know you need to get that." It's the same kind of tricks. I remember another time I was seeking God for holiness. And I remember there praying. And you know, if the enemy can't get you off base and can't get you distracted, if he can't get you to give up and not believe that God can do this, he tries to get you distracted. I was on my knees praying, asking God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I mean, I was really clear and everything. I just waiting basically for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come and do the cleansing work. You know, when the fire fell, hallelujah, when the fire fell, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And the old enemy slips up and said, "Well, you better call Mike." Now, Mike was my mentor. He said, "You better call Mike and see what else you need to do." And I got up off my old knees and went for the telephone to call Mike. I'm at a meeting with divine intervention from heaven. What do I need to talk to somebody for? God's here. He wants to do the work. And the blessed Holy Spirit said, "Rodney, I'm right here." You know, the enemy might be speaking, but God's speaking too.
That's right.
And I believe God's speaking tonight. Whether you're not saved, you're not clearly saved, maybe you got carnality down on the inside that's bubbling up, and God's been showing it to you, and He's got you boxed in a corner. And I'll tell you what, you're just like a rat in a corner. You're looking for any way to get out. I remember one time I went into church this one time, and God started to come in the song service. I had a sermon prepared and everything. The Lord started calling me to preach holiness right now. Right now, John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." And I'm sitting back there, my song leader's up there, and the burden is just building on my heart. I could hardly stay set. I started praying, "Lord, get this man out of the way. God, would you have him set down? I mean, this burden just started to boil up in my heart. I needed to preach holiness, and I needed to preach it now. And I'll tell you what, the burden kept on growing, If he hadn't sat down soon, I was probably going to get up and remove him. But sure enough, God sent him down to his seat, and I got up. I just began preaching out of John 17, and I began preaching. I'll tell you what, the one lady over here, she'd been under conviction for holiness for a long time. She actually got up and ran out of the church. She went back and sat in the vestibule. Her boyfriend hit the altar. Later I talked to her. She didn't come pray, if I remember correctly. And I went out there, and she went out of the sanctuary and sat down in the vestibule. And I approached her and said, "Hey," I said, "why don't you come and pray?" And she actually told me, she said, "You know, some people, when they feel like this, they actually just run right out of the church." She said, "At least I didn't leave." You see, it's a very dangerous thing to run from God. That woman, her boyfriend, ran a crystal meth lab, got gloriously saved, ran a bus ministry in a church, had been on fire for God. But the moment that they rejected Holy Sunday, I don't think he ever got through that night. It wasn't long till the bus ministry was gone. It wasn't long till neither one of them ever came to church. It's a dangerous thing when God's speaking to your heart. Is God speaking to your heart about carnality tonight? I didn't come here just to preach on holiness. Maybe there's sin in your life. You see, if there's sin in your life, you're not a candidate for holiness yet. You need to get that taken care of, because that's things that you've done. But that old carnal nature down the inside that helps you to keep backsliding from time to time, helps you to turn. You know, I have an expression that you know, when you got a carnal heart, when you got a carnal heart, you got a real big problem. Because not only do you have a tempter that seeks after your soul, but you got something on the inside that likes to agree with him from time to time. Boy, that's like getting in an argument with yourself. "No, I really don't want to do it." Well, look, read Romans chapter 7. What's going on there? "I really don't want to do that." Oh, carnality, sin, wrestling with those things. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I'll tell you what, God shifted in this message to talk to you about both these things. Noel Scott, you probably heard him preach, and a very godly preacher. He talks about the fact that when he came to receive holiness, came to get sanctified, he found out he had to get some work to do on his first work of grace. He had to get some things patched up before he could pray through on holiness. Amen. You know, sometimes we in the holiness movement, we like to put it in a box. Yeah. We like to put it in a box, and well, you got to get saved, and then after a while you learn enough, and then you got to get sanctified. I remember one time I was listening to a tape. And in this tape, they led this lady through prayer, and her husband's kind of arguing with him. And finally, the minister actually sent the husband and said, "You just go on out there and have a seat. Leave us pray for a while." They were in a private room. You know, there's other people there, and they're praying. That's the way they did it. They didn't just have an altar. They actually had you go to a special room, and you went there, and there were prayer counselors there to pray with you and to counsel you. And he starts leading this woman, and her husband is there. And he's like, "Look, you remember when you prayed back then? You remember when you asked Jesus into your heart? You remember when you asked God to forgive you?" And she's like, "I know that I'm not born again." She knew that she wasn't saved. And he starts leading her. He starts leading her in prayer and gets her to the place where she knew that she was saved. And he's telling her, he said, "Now, you know, all those things that you just confessed to Christ." He said, I want you to picture Jesus Christ on the cross. He said, "I want you to imagine him hanging there for the cross. Can you see him hanging there? He died there for your sins. Do you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins?" And glory struck that woman's soul. She prayed clean through. God had done a work in her heart. She knew that she was forgiven. She was radiant. She was saved. She knew that she was born of God. But you know what? After she was clear on that, he didn't stop there. I was amazed when I listened to this tape. He said, "Now," he goes, "I want you to consecrate your whole life to God." I believe it's a rare thing that it happened so quickly. It did not happen at the same time. Don't get me wrong. She got clearly saved. And then he continued on, because she was so right. She wanted all God right there. And she got clearly saved. She put her sins in the past. She was backslidden. She probably did get saved somewhere before. She got back to God that day. God did a work in her heart. She was clearly saved. And he just encouraged her. He said, "I want you to consecrate your whole life. I want you to give everything to God. I want you to put everything out before God." And God came and sanctified that woman right there in the spot. I'm listening to this tape. I was saved and sanctified. I'm driving down the highway listening to say, I started to get so blessed. I was like, praise the Lord, this woman just got saved and got sanctified, and they don't even know what God did for her. Because they didn't believe in two works of grace. Wow. I mean, I actually went to Brother Black at Penn View. I was a student at Penn View at the time. I said, Brother Black, I said, you got to hear about this. I said, did you know that somebody could get saved and sanctified within just a real short period of time after? And I explained to him about what happened on the tape, and he was all excited. He said, you know, he said, a lot of times that happens just congruent like that. He said, when somebody was really going deep enough with God, two definite works of grace, two definite instantaneous works of grace at a different time. It was not done in one swoop. Because you can't be cleansed at the same time that you're being forgiven for what you've done.
That's right.
But that woman got saved, and probably within a few minutes more of praying, she got gloriously sanctified. And I was asking Brother Black, how many of you know Brother Black from Penview? Well, he started pastoring a church before he was married. And in that church, his first convert became his wife. And this is the way he told me. He was kind of joking. He said, well, he said, my wife was really under conviction. And he said, well, it was before it was his wife. He said, yeah, she came forward in the morning service. She prayed and sought God. He said, God gloriously saved her. It was awesome. He said, she came back at night. I preached in holiness. She hit the altar again and got sanctified all in the same day. Got saved in the morning service, sanctified in the night service. He said, then I married her. That's what he said. Home mission, I tell you. You know what, friends? It's time we get really real with God.
Yes.
It's time that we get so clear with God. You know, sometimes we're afraid of the altar. Sometimes we're afraid about what somebody will think.
Right.
I remember one time I was at Penview. I was saved, sanctified. But I remember God was just smoting my heart in a way. Because, see, I had a fear of man come up. That if I had a need, I didn't want to go down in front of all those people.
Right.
I don't remember one time. I don't even know what they were preaching about. I don't even remember what the need was. But I just felt I needed to go and pray. But I was fearful of man. And really, I think the real problem was I was afraid of man. I was afraid about what somebody would think about me if I went down there and prayed. You know, I went down there and hit the altar, and I found out that's what the real problem was. I was just afraid about what people would think. I was only there for a few seconds, and God just dealt with it, because just me walking down the aisle was enough to deal with the problem.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we're worried about what somebody else would think in the church. We're worried because we're in a position in the church. We're worried because we got this thing going on, and we don't want anybody to know. Friends, you know what? God knows.
Right.
And He looks down, and He looks at our heart, and He says, what is your name? What is your name? And you're going to have to be like Jacob at all and say, Lord, this is what I am. Oh, God, this is what I am, and I just want you to come, and I want you to bring the change. And all of a sudden, God did just that for Jacob. And He told him, thy name shall no more be Jacob. Praise the Lord. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. God came and done such a work in his heart, his name wasn't even the same anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, I want to let you know that God's able to do that for you. What you've seen Him do in the Bible for somebody, He's able to do for you. If He did that for Jacob, He can do that for you. If He did that for me, He can do that for you. Whatever your need might be tonight, hallelujah, I want to let you know God's able to bring the change. The fact of the matter is, do you want to dig deep enough to get it? Do you really want to get down to the place where God can do the work? I'd like you to think about those words. I would not be denied. 238 in your hymnal. Are you like Jacob of old tonight? You know that you need a work in your heart. Maybe you need some patches put on. You need some things taken care of. You've got some work that needs to be done. Maybe you just need to be humble before God. Maybe you've got a man-fearing spirit and you'd be afraid. You know, sometimes in our church we have an old fault confessing time. What's that? Well, sometimes when the Lord leads, I'll just come into church that night and God's looking. Sometimes it happens just right in the middle of the service. And I'll have us go around the room. And it will just take one at a time. So I want you to confess your fault. I'll start out and I'll confess one of my faults. I'm not talking about deep, dark sin. You got deep, dark sin, you need to get that clear with God. Sometimes people will. They'll start confessing a sin out and ask people to pray. And I'll say, all right, I want you to confess one of your faults. And then you pick somebody to pray for you. So I'd confess one and I'd say, would you pray for me? And then after I've chosen you to pray for me, now you got to confess a fault. And then you pick somebody else who hasn't been picked yet in the congregation. And they're going to lead out in prayer for you. We all pray for one another. You want to talk about a humbling time?
Sure.
You want to talk about a time that you get low before God? And you start to just realize, you know, friends, sometimes, you know, our faults will hang us up to the place that we'll get pushed right back into some sin. And then because of what God's done for us before, we don't want to admit that maybe we got a need now. I've been reading one of Finney's books on revival, and he's just talking about in there, about how the church, when there starts to be frictions and difficulties and stuff, it's time that we come to God and just seek Him for true revival. And friends, I believe God wants to do some work in all of our hearts tonight. And I want to know whether you're willing to go all the way with God no matter what.
Amen.
238. When pangs of fear seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried, till Jesus came
and made me whole,
would not be denied. I would not be denied till Jesus came and made me whole. Would not be denied. As Jacob in the days of old wrestled with the Lord, and instantly with courage bold stood upon his word. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. Old Satan said my Lord was gone and would not hear my prayer. But praise the Lord, the work is done, and Christ the Lord is here. Would not be denied. I would denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody here tonight that would like to seek God? Have you got a need in your heart and you want God to do a work in your heart? Friends, I believe you're going to need to come forward. You're going to need to seek God. We don't need to be afraid about what somebody else would think. And in fact, if there's somebody who'd have a wrong thought about you hitting the altar, friends, they're the one that need to be right beside you. And you know what? The old enemy likes to work that way. Is there anybody here tonight who would like to seek the Lord before we close? You've got plenty of time to seek God. Or you're at that place in your life that you would not be denied, no matter what the case might be. You're willing to press forward with God, no matter what it might mean putting behind you, no matter what it might mean be to lose in your life. Are you willing to go forward? God, I want you more than anything tonight.
Amen.
Is that your desire tonight? I'd like everybody to stand with all eyes and heads bowed before the Lord, all eyes closed and heads bowed. Lord God, you know the hearts that you've spoken to tonight, Lord. We thank you, dear God, for being here and helping, oh God. And Lord, we commit this into your hand. Dear Jesus, what is thy will, Lord? We pray that you speak to every heart, oh God. There's one that you're speaking to, Lord. We stand ready and waiting, Lord. Oh, Father, that thy will would be done. Is there anybody here who would like to seek God tonight? God is able to move and intercede in your life, but you're going to have to be willing to wrestle with God. You have that spirit like Jacob that you'll wrestle with God. And you won't let him go till he blesses you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Roush, you have anything on your heart? All right. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your presence tonight. Pray, God, that you would be with each and every one as they travel home. Make a way, Lord, for them to return again, Lord God. Father, Lord, if this is where you want them tomorrow, they would be here above any place else on earth, God. All those that we met today, all those that we prayed for, Lord, that you would move upon their hearts and bring them out to the services, O God, that you would be glorified and you would be lifted up on high. Speak to their hearts, O God, we pray. And Lord, we'll give you praise and glory. We thank you for your visitation tonight, dear God. Thou art blessed and awesome and wonderful, Lord. Have your unhindered way in Jesus' precious name. Amen.